Proverbs chapter 4, beginning with verse 23. We're going to read three verses, 23 through 26. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. And one more portion of Scripture. This is from Matthew chapter 22, beginning with verse 35 through 40. Then one of them which was a lawyer asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The title of my message this morning, directed to the fathers, but it's really to all of us, is Dad, who's looking after your heart? Who's looking after your heart? I want to talk to you this morning for just a little while about what has been called maybe your secret place. It's that place where the real you lives. It's where the core of your being is located. You know, for much of ancient Israel's history, that place was seen to be the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies, which was this 15 cubic foot area of space that existed in the tabernacle and later on in the temple. And it was that place where no one could enter in to it except for one time a year. It was only on the Day of Atonement then that the high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies. It was on that day that the high priest would bathe and they would put on clean linen garments and enter into the Holy of Holies to be in the very presence of the Lord God. He would make a sacrifice and then he would intercede for the people of Israel. It has been said that the only light that was ever present in the Holy of Holies was the light of God himself, his Shekinah glory shining forth. And so to help guard the Holy of Holies from any type of impurities, a curtain was constructed then that isolated it from the rest of the temple. It was imperative that this 15 cubic foot of space be kept uncontaminated and sanctified. No one could look at it or treat it in any type of disregard or disrespect. The high priest, the scribes, and all the other priests would have gladly laid down their lives to protect the holiness of this sacred place, this inner sanctuary. And to the ancient Jew, this was the place where the God of creation and mankind would come together. This was the place where the Lord God Almighty touched the earth. This was the place where heaven and earth became one. Yet when our Lord Jesus Christ was dying on the cross for our sins, the Bible tells us that the veil which had separated the Holy of Holies from the outside world suddenly split in two. The story is found in Matthew 27. God was making a statement. No longer did there need to be a separation between the Lord God and His people. No longer was there a need for any daily animal sacrifices. What God had promised the prophet Jeremiah was now becoming a reality. Here's what he said found in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the new covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Thank you, Jesus. So we see then God would now, through the power of His Spirit, dwell in the inner hearts of humans. All humanity needed to do was to allow God then to rescue them and redeem them and restore them into His holy image. The Holy of Holies would not reside in a man-made dwelling any longer, not in a brick and mortar, in a place of brick and mortar, but in a place that God creates Himself. That is the heart of everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. It is that place then where the real you resides that I'd like for us to talk about today. For it's from that place that Jesus calls us then to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And it's from that place that Jesus calls us to love your neighbor as yourself. And it's in that place that the wisest human being that ever walked our planet reminds us to keep your hearts with vigilance, and for from it flows the springs of life. This morning, your secret place, your holy of holies, your heart space, your inner sanctuary must be protected. Why? Because it's from this place, your inner core, that you develop all of your way of thinking. It's from where your attitudes and your mindset and your outlook and your lifestyle is developed. So if your heart is at peace, then guess what? Your life as a whole will be in peace. If your heart is in line then with God's will, then you're going to find yourself in the path of His anointings and His blessings. If your inner space is in tune with the Lord, then you're going to find yourself living life as God desires for us to live. And that is being full of joy and abundant, free, grace-filled, and experiencing life as a genuine human being reflecting God's glory and honor. However, we can find that the opposite is true as well. If our hearts then become polluted by such things as sin and worry and bitterness and anxiety and offense and stress and disappointments and jealousy, and we could go on and on, then instead of a clear and a pure spring flowing from our hearts and lives, the exact opposite will flow. We'll find ourselves then at odds with people and even at odds with ourselves. We'll find ourselves living a life without joy, without celebration, and without victory. And we know, many of us know a lot of folks like that. We'll find our attitudes being poisoned then by the ways of the world. We'll find our hearts possessing a critical spirit, a judgmental spirit, a negative spirit. And guess what? The devil knows this as well. He knows that if he can get our inner spirit, our inner heart poisoned and contaminated, then we will never enjoy the peace and joy that the Lord has for us to enjoy. The devil wants to destroy our Holy of Holies. So how then do we protect our inner spirit? How do we protect our hearts? Here's how. First of all, we invite the Holy Spirit inside to become our ruler. Well, I want His Spirit, but you know, I like to make decisions on my own. He wants to be our ruler. We have to make Him our ruler and our guide. I want us to understand that in our own natural strength, it is not possible for us to keep our hearts clean and pure. Are you hearing me today? And in our own natural strength, we will not allow the devil then to junk up our lives, and we'll join him in doing that job as well. Here's what the Bible says on the subject. Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. Jesus knew that, and in of ourselves, we are bent towards sin. Jesus knew that there is something broken in each of us, and that's why he said these words, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander." These are what will defile a person. There are some who would like to argue then with God and say that our hearts in and of themselves are pure. They would like to argue and say that we are born untainted and that mankind in and of himself really is can be holy, and that we don't need some God to rescue us or redeem us or restore us. We don't need to be found because we're really not lost. We are just fine as we are. But guess what? History tells us of a different story. A story that is very much like the one we read about in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. Here's what it said. "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Listen, God saw that before the flood, mankind had an evil heart. And yes, God sees the same thing today. We're not born pure and holy. You've got to understand that. We are born spiritually broken, but aren't you glad that we don't stay that way? And more than ever today, we can see the brokenness being displayed through sin and immorality and through idolatry. But it's through God's desire for us to be restored that we can be reborn through Jesus Christ. Jesus holds the answer then for our world, for our community, for our friends, for our families. And it's through the power of His Spirit that we can be transformed. I was an old sinner. But I have been saved by grace. And I'm now a new creation in Christ. We can repent of our sins. We can experience a whole new life. And we can be one with the Lord through the infilling of His presence, the presence of His Spirit. And that's the key. The power and the presence of the Holy Spirit that can enable us each day to have a heart that can be pure and holy. You and I cannot, in and of ourselves, keep evil thoughts from surrounding us and even attempting to get inside of us. That's not sin. How about when we get cut off, though, in traffic? And suddenly we are overwhelmed then with a desire to say something or to do something unholy. How about when someone offends us and how quickly we feel to rush that rush of anger rising up in our hearts? So we buy that person behind us their meal. And we present it to the lady at the window. And we get her meal and my meal and we drive off. Oh, that's not what God intended. Amen. Listen, if it's not dealt with, it can open the door in our hearts to a spirit of malice, a spirit of or spite, and it'll take hold. How about when we get beat up by life and we find ourselves then invited to walk down that road of bitterness and resentment? Will we do it? And guess what? A lot of people do. And that's sadly, that's what has driven their lives over the years. How about when those unfair things happen to us? Yes, unfair things do happen to us. It's then, if we are not careful, we can begin to then grow a garden of disappointment and discouragement. Or we see other people doing better than we are, and we start developing a spirit of envy and jealousy. How about when our hearts and our minds are drawn then towards things that focus on the physical instead of on the spiritual? Listen, in our own natural strength, in our own flesh, it is impossible for us to stay holy and pure. We can't do it. No matter how hard we try, we will not be able to do it. No matter how many self-help books we read, we will not be able to live the life that God wants us to live in our own strength. But if we will allow the Holy Spirit of God to come and live in our inner space, our inner sanctuary, our inner heart, shine His light on that closed room that's been closed for a long time, Brother North. We will see the Spirit then will protect us and provide for us a renewed spirit and a renewed mind. And yes, it all starts with God's Spirit coming in and becoming our Savior and our Lord. It all begins with us surrendering our hearts and our will, our inner sanctuary over to the Holy Spirit of God. So we invite the Holy Spirit in to become our ruler. We then are to live by wisdom and guidance by the Holy Spirit. Way before Pentecost, we find a story of a young man who allowed God's Spirit to lead him and to guide his life. His name was Joseph. His story is an amazing one. His brothers sell him then for a few coins, and he finds himself living as a slave in a foreign land. And then he finds himself being lied about and thrown into prison for the rest of his life. He has a small window of hope after he helps a couple of men realize the meanings of their dreams. But when those dreams come true, one of them, the cupbearer, forgot about Joseph. He simply left Joseph to rot in prison. If ever a young man had the opportunity to become offended and resentful and critical and bitter and discouraged, guess what? It would have been Joseph. I mean, how many of us would trade places today with Joseph when he was a slave or a prisoner? So how did Joseph do it? How did Joseph stay on the right course? How did Joseph guard his heart? The Bible tells us that Joseph held fast to the Lord. Joseph understood that the evil things and the evil thoughts might come to him, but he did not have to allow them to take root in his heart. Way before Pentecost, Joseph knew that the secret to a victorious life then was to allow the Lord Himself to live in him. Understand that you and I cannot always protect ourselves against the bad things that come into our lives. They're going to come. We cannot always protect ourselves against people saying hurtful things. Did you know that? People being unkind to us, unfair things happening to us or our loved ones, wrongful thoughts coming into our hearts and our minds, anger rising up in our spirit, a judgmental attitude wanting to take control, temptations coming across our path. But we don't have to allow them an entrance into our inner sanctuaries. We don't have to allow them to come into the inner core of our lives and take root. Oh, I hope you're hearing me this morning. As a child of God and as a believer, we can turn everything over then to the Holy Spirit, who has promised us, Sister Michelle, a way of escape and a seal of protection. The devil tried his best to mess with Jesus' inner heart in the wilderness. He did his best to get Jesus off track. He did his best to trip Jesus up. But do you remember what Jesus did? Jesus as a man, as the very flesh of Almighty God, did not rely on his own strength, but he relied on the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus quoted the word back to Satan and allowed the word of God to defeat Satan. In other words, again, Jesus as the man, as the Son, as the very flesh of God, told the devil that he would live under the protection and the rule of his heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit. Jesus was not going to allow the devil to bring anything harmful or poisonous into his life to take root. And Luke 4:14 tells us, it says, Jesus returned then to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And that is exactly what we have to do ourselves. Each day we have to get up and we have to allow the Spirit to be our ruler and our guide. Each day, and especially to the fathers today, we have to get up and we have to ask the Holy Spirit to give us the knowledge and the wisdom that we need for that day. Each day we have to do what Paul told his friends at Colossae. Here's what he wrote to the Colossians in chapter 3, verses 2 through 4. He said, set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with Him in glory. I know it's not easy. People do you wrong. They may even lie to you. They may even lie about you. And suddenly you find your life is being turned upside down. The doctor's report then is not good. You don't feel good. Your bank account looks a little bleak. Your family is causing you stress. Your coworkers are causing you problems. Life is simply beating you up. You feel all alone with no one beside you. Everyone else's life looks better, and you really don't know if there's going to be a turnaround. It's easy then, watch this, it's easy to allow bitterness and jealousy and anger and offense to come in and take root and set up shop. It's easy then to allow the devil to tempt you in this area or that area. It's easy to become worried. It's easy to become stressed out then and be overcome with discouragement. But you have to remember something this morning, and that is our time here on earth is like a vapor. Our time here on earth is short. We need to always remember that the Bible tells us this. If we keep our love pure and holy, then we're going to be able to eat from the tree of life. If we stay faithful, then we're going to be given that crown of life. If we follow the will of the Lord, we will be given a new name, Brandon. If we stay faithful, we'll be given white garments and we'll never have our names blotted out of the book of life. In other words, this morning, if we allow the Holy Spirit to reside and control then our inner sanctuaries, our inner core, our hearts, then one day we'll be enjoying everlasting life in heaven, a place that God says He has prepared for those who love Him. We'll be able to walk on the streets of gold and we'll be basking in the light that comes from God Himself. But in order for that to happen, we have to allow the Lord to forgive us of our sins and be born again and be infilled with God's Spirit. In order for that to happen, we have to allow the Spirit of God to constantly renew our hearts and our minds. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Today we need to guard our inner sanctuary. We need to guard our hearts where the real us resides. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to infill us and purify us and lead us day by day. We need to do that. If we will do that, we'll be surprised at how in the midst then of adversity we can sing instead of curse. If we allow the Holy Spirit to live inside of us and work through us, we will see how amazing things happen in us and for us. King Solomon tells us from our inner sanctuary, our inner core, what he calls our heart, comes the waters of our lives. From our hearts comes our attitudes, the way we think, and the way we look at life. He reminds us how vital it is then for us to guard what type of water flows from our heart. The devil, the world, and sin, guess what, wants to pollute our water sources. The devil, the world, and sin wants us to be bitter, to be negative, to look down, to be defeated, and to live a life of hell here on earth, and one then in hell forever. But Jesus, listen, Jesus wants to rescue us. He wants to redeem us. He wants to live inside of us. His Spirit desires to cleanse us, cleanse the springs of our hearts. His Spirit wants to give us a song to sing in the midst of our pain. His Spirit wants to help us to look up to the heavens. His Spirit wants us to dwell and breathe and rejoice then in a life that is true and honorable and just and pure and excellent and praiseworthy. This morning then, the question for us is what spring or what water flows from your inner spring? And to the fathers this morning, what water flows then from your inner spring? Who is in control of your inner heart? Who is in charge of guarding your inner core, your inner sanctuary? This morning I just invite you to allow the Holy Spirit to cleanse you and renew your spirit. Allow the Lord to forgive you and redeem you and infill you with His Spirit anew. Allow God's Spirit to not just reside in your heart, but rule and reign anew in your heart and your life. And allow His Spirit to live continually in your life so that in the midst of the struggles of life, you, like Paul and Silas, can have a song of victory. Why is that? So that in the midst of the struggles of life, you know then that you're in God's hands, Brandon. So that in the midst of the struggles of life, you experience victory and peace and joy. So that you can live the best life here on earth and be better prepared then to continue to live the best life on then for an eternity with the Lord Himself. I don't know about you, but I want my heart right. Amen. Let's all stand together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'd like to do something. We're going to have something for all the fathers that are here today to give you. But I'd like for all of our fathers, would you just come and stand down here with me? Just come down and stand. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on down, all of our fathers. In fact, if you just come right here in the middle and then face the congregation, because we're going to give you honor today, okay? Aren't these some mighty men? Oh, my gosh. All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Awesome. Hallelujah. We didn't get the memo about the short pants, but that is. Oh, here comes little man. Here's little man. All right, all right. Let's honor all our men today. Y'all, let's give them praise. All right, all right, all right. Okay. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'd say they're all good looking, but I'm the only one, I guess. No. Oh, my gosh. All right. Would you stretch your hands out here to these mighty men? We've got all these mighty men right here. Father, I thank you for every one of them. Oh, Lord, we just praise you today. Lord, I thank you for what you've put into their lives. Lord, you see everything going on today in their lives right now. You see struggles. You see everything that they face on a daily basis. So, Lord, I thank you today for your mighty presence, in our lives, oh God. And, Lord, I'm just asking God that you would just touch the hearts of these men. Renew their hearts today anew, Lord. Just fill them anew, God. Oh, do what you need to do in their lives, oh God. And I thank you because you promise good things for us, Lord. Lead them, Lord. Continue to direct their paths. Oh, guide them today, Lord. I thank you. Download wisdom, Lord, from above that they need, Lord. We thank you because, Lord, we know the days ahead are not going to get any better, but we thank you that if our eyes are upon you, Lord, that's all that matters, that you promise to take care of us. So, Lord, I thank you for the mighty men, those that you've placed in this house, God, and I thank you for what you're going to continue to do in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's worship the Lord with a hand clap. Amen. Hallelujah.